Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
I wish. Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Have you noticed, like I have the last couple of years, we see so many more Muslims in our town, and maybe you do too. And what do they believe? And then there's a whole other religion called Hinduism that we don't see many Hindus in America, but what do they believe? We're going to spend most of the time talking about what do Muslims believe, but at the end we'll talk about Hinduism too. We have the perfect guest, and I want to introduce to you Reuben David.
Yes.
Reuben David is a journalist by profession, born and raised in India.
Yes.
And he was former professor of North Central University. He's got degrees in journalism from Regent University, mass media, psychology. He also got a degree from Bangalore University in India. And you being born and raised in India,
yes.
What's the percentage of Christians in India?
They say officially 3-4%, but unofficially it's about 5%.
And you were raised a Christian?
Yes.
Yes, you were.
Yes, I was.
All right, so now, are there more? What we want to do for this half hour is really get into what the other people believe. Mm. And in India, for instance, are there more Muslims or Hindus?
It's an interesting question. India has more Muslims than Pakistan has, about 150 million Muslims in India alone.
Okay.
And prior to the 1947 independence of India, Pakistan was part of India. India, along with Pakistan, would have made the largest Islamic population in the Asian continent.
In India, are there more Hindus than Muslims?
Yes. Of course, okay. The predominantly major religion of India is Hinduism.
Okay.
And then you have Islam.
Okay.
Then you have Buddhist. And then yes. You have Christians.
Christians, Muslims, and Jews are monotheists. We believe in one God.
Yes.
Hindus are polytheists, believe in many gods.
Multiple gods, many.
Let me ask the big question. Do Jews, Christians, and Muslims mm-hmm. worship the same God?
Oh, no. That question I get asked all the time. And my answer is, no, we do not believe in the same God that the Muslims believe. For a simple reason, we believe definitely in a monotheistic God, but our definition of God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's a triune element to our God.
One God, three persons.
Yes, and in the Muslim tradition, their theology, God is simply one, is an entity with nothing in him as a diversity.
Right. And we believe Jesus is God.
Yes.
For a Muslim, it's a heresy to
totally.
Say Jesus is God. So when people say, well, we all believe the same thing. No, we don't.
No, we don't. We don't. For the Muslim, Jesus is only a prophet, and they adore him as a great prophet. But when it comes to the deity of Jesus, mm-hmm. it's a blasphemy.
But a few of the things, mm-hmm. they're right. I mean, they believe in the virgin birth of Christ.
Yes, and I ask this with a lot of Muslims. How come you accept one supernatural element of Jesus and deny another supernatural aspect of his life, that is his resurrection?
Right.
And they get confused on that.
Let's talk about the history, because a lot of people don't know the history of Islam.
Yeah.
When did it start and who started it?
600 years after the birth of Jesus, roughly, is when Muhammad, who was a peasant, an illiterate peasant, had a vision in a cave. According to Islamic theology, an angel Gabriel appeared to him and gave him a revelation. And that is how Quran was given to Muhammad. Eventually it was transcribed by the scribes that he had. Mm-hmm. And Quran, they believe, came to them from heaven in Arabic script.
Okay. And so that starts this movement, and then they went out and conquered, didn't they?
Yes.
There was a lot of worship, warfare.
Yes, in the history of Islam, this religion spread in the early years. There was a lot of concessions that Prophet Muhammad made because he was yet to seize much power. But when he became very powerful, then the Jews and the Christians were intimidated, and they were pretty much subordinated to the Islamic religion. Prior and later on in Europe, which was Christendom, Islam marched pretty heavily there, trying to conquer. They came all the way to Spain.
Yeah.
And that is in, I think, 1673.
And let me ask you this. For a Christian, the way we're saved, the way we get to heaven, is not by our good works. It's only by Christ's death on the cross and resurrection by which we are saved. Grace, not works.
Yes.
If you first of all, do Islamic people believe in heaven and hell?
They have an idea of heaven and hell. Okay. And so their concept of heaven is, if you subscribe and ascribe and follow the teachings of Muhammad and make your confession that Muhammad is the only prophet, that's your ticket to heaven.
It is. And you, is it true if you die for, you know, you hear this, that if you die for Islam by crashing your plane into a building, you get, is it 72 virgins?
Yes, yes, there is that in
is
the
that
Quranic.
I think it's
in the Quran.
It is.
Yeah, as well as another book called the Hadith, which is a kind of a supportive book along with the Quran.
How do they think you're saved? How can you get into, how do you get into heaven according to Islam?
According to Islam, salvation is by you keeping the laws, following the traditions, keeping up with all the precepts that Quran talks to you. It's a measure of works.
Is there forgiveness of sins in Islam?
They talk about it, but I see that when I talk to Muslims, they are still yearning and longing for that deep assurance that the sins are forgiven.
Like, you and I can know we're saved because the Bible promises, believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved.
Yes.
Do Muslims know they're saved, or do they think
I have asked that question with some of my Somalian friends, and they tell me, no, I'm not sure, but I keep working towards it. So when are you going to be really sure? I don't know.
Okay.
It simply hangs over them.
Do they believe hell is eternal? Punishment?
They do that.
They do.
They believe that hell is eternal.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, what are the pillars of Islam? Do you remember? What is it?
Yeah, there
pillars?
Are five pillars.
Okay.
One
is
fasting.
Okay.
Another one is almsgiving. Another one is you got to make a trip to Mecca once in your year. And then you have to make
once in your life.
Once in your life, yes.
And what if you don't?
If you don't, you lose your brownie points.
Okay. And what was number five?
And another one is your confession. That Muhammad is the only prophet and that there is only one God. And that's why they shout Allahu Akbar, because they're confessing that there is only one God and Muhammad is his only prophet.
So Allahu Akbar, which is what they yell when they crash into a building, what does that mean?
God is great.
Okay.
God is great.
My.
And I don't know in what sense God is great when you go on committing these crimes.
Well, the thing is, I read the International Christian Concern monthly newsletter on persecution. The worst persecutors on the planet, with the possible exception of North Korea, which is atheism,
right, definitely,
are the Islamic regimes.
Yes.
And so, I mean, when a president might say, well, that's just the lunatic fringe, overwhelmingly, Islam is a religion of peace. Is that true?
As an observer, as somebody who has lived in an Islamic culture also in India, I can say this. Yes, I accept and agree there are good Muslims around the world, but I'm talking about the theology that does prescribe certain forms of violence if you don't fully adapt to what Quran says.
Let's ask that question. Does the Quran or other holy writings from Islam actually teach that if these people won't convert, you can kill them? Does it say that?
Yes, it does say that. It's in the book of Quran. In fact, in Indonesia, which is an Islamic state, it's a state law. It's a law that if you convert from Islam to any other religion, you're committing apostasy, and you can be in prison.
You can be and killed.
And killed too.
I mean, when we see beheadings of journalists, and this woman, this Christian woman who left Islam for Christianity, she was, I mean, with lots of Christian prayer, I think she escaped. I mean, she got out of there.
Yes.
But they do, in some instances, kill people who have left Islam.
Absolutely.
And not only just kill people on the site, official government killing of the people.
Right.
And where is that happening?
A lot of places in Iran, in parts of Pakistan, in parts of Libya, Syria, much of these Islamic nations. Sudan, yes, a big time in Sudan. Mm-hmm. Even in Pakistan, which is supposedly a kind of a little bit of secularism there, but it's not, though.
Yeah.
They still have the blasphemy laws where you could be killed.
Do you ever... All right, so we've talked about how they're saved by good works, basically.
Yeah, good works.
And their view of God is not... that they don't believe in one God and three persons.
No.
Do you... I mean, when you see Islam spreading... Is it really spreading? Because, I mean, this is going to sound funny. I think And it's horrible that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they behead someone mm-hmm. in the name of Allah,
right.
that's a good advertisement for Christianity. Who wants to be a Muslim if that's what it's all about?
Exactly. You know?
So
right.
is Islam spreading, or is it just that they're having big families?
Yes, I will say it. Yes, they're having big families in Europe, you know, as opposed to the white families, the Muslim
that
families that have more kids. And yeah. I believe in Europe, the most popular name for baby boys is Muhammad.
Oh, my.
And much of
my.
France.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true, yes. And polls repeatedly show that. Parts of France and Germany and Sweden, you'll see an influx of Muslims there. And England has given way much.
Yeah.
Parts of England is a no-go area because it's totally Islamic. And I believe there are ambitious plans by the Muslim groups in England to build a large mosque bigger than St. Paul Cathedral. All this is to show that they are advancing, moving, propagating, and increasing in number.
All right. So they're increasing in number by having big families.
Yes.
Are they increasing in number by bringing other faiths to their faith? Does that happen much?
It does. You know, I was recently was listening to a documentary in Texas about how former Baptist women, you know, especially women, are converting to Islam. And the reason they give is, oh, we feel a sense of modesty by being a Muslim woman.
Oh, my.
I guess that's an extreme form of, experience, because they feel like somehow being a Christian has destroyed their modesty. And now becoming a Muslim is giving them back their modesty.
Well, what do you say to this? When they call America the great Satan,
yes.
part of me thinks they've got a point. America is the biggest producer of pornography worldwide.
Yes.
We've got abortion all over the place.
Yes.
We've got the filthiest TV shows
yes.
in America.
Yes.
And now gay marriage in a number of
yes.
states. What do you say to somebody who says, how come these Muslim countries have morals? They don't mm-hmm. even have, they can't even drink, right?
In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, in certain countries you can't even have a drink. How come these Muslim countries have higher morals than these supposedly Christian countries? What would you say to that?
It's a very, very, very complex question. I do have to say, yes, there are lots of wrongs in our country. We have to accept that. We have to own up to that. Things are not what they look like. Our Hollywood spews out mm-hmm. all kinds of nonsense and immorality across the world. So there's a certain truth to this, to the fact that, yes, it's immoral in many parts of the Western world. But that is not to say that America, a Western nation as such, has spawned out of a religion that teaches that. You mm-hmm. know, Christianity doesn't teach that, but, you know, people, because they're fallen human beings, they tend to do that.
Well, here's where it gets even worse.
Yes.
When you've got liberal mainline denominations.
Yes.
Like the ELCA Lutherans.
Right.
The United Church of Christ. Their bishops are promoting abortion rights.
That's right.
Or homosexual marriage. Then you're really going to confuse these poor Muslims.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a serious point of contention. We have to wake up the American church. You
yeah.
just cannot go on the way you're going. You got to be a true witness to the teachings of our Lord Jesus.
If in some of these countries you leave Islam and become
yeah.
a Christian,
yes.
you can die.
Yes.
At the very least, you'll be shunned.
Yes.
So my question is, are people in Iraq, Pakistan,
right.
Sudan.
Yes.
Are many of these people coming to Christ?
Yes. Are you talking about the Muslims coming
yes.
to Christ?
Yes.
There are. I mean, repeatedly I hear stories about visions and dreams and how Jesus appears to them in their dreams and how Jesus comes to them in their visions.
Yeah.
And oh, they hear voices about Jesus.
I've been told the same thing too. Because he is so banned in their country,
yes.
he shows up in their dreams.
He does. He does. Yeah. He does.
And are there a lot of underground Christians that aren't really bold about it because of their
yeah.
neck? But is that happening?
In Iran, yes. there are a lot of underground churches in Iran which secretly meet and, you know, have their little Bible studies, knowing very well that they will be targeted.
Mm-hmm.
But such movements are many in many parts of those Middle Eastern countries. In fact, Saudi Arabia, you can't have a church. You literally have to shut your doors and worship inside without any noise coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's serious issues.
Aren't there also, because they ban, like, Jesus in Iran,
yeah.
but aren't Christians broadcasting radio shows into Iran that they
yes.
can't stop?
They can't stop that. And now with technology, with Facebook and, you know, Twitter, and the social media is expanding, and so you pretty much you can download your Bible on your, you know, iPhone, and then you can read them. And so in some sense, technology has leveled it. It's going to be a tough battle for the Muslims to fight that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the gospel will go, whether they like it or not, in some form or fashion.
And again, where are the toughest countries in the world to be a Christian right now?
Saudi Arabia.
Is it?
Yes.
Even though supposedly there's such
a friend. It's a political ally of the U.S., but rarely does America get involved in its internal affairs. For example, we in America allow mosques to exist, but Saudi Arabia, though they are an ally and a friend to us, they wouldn't allow a church to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Now that to me is always a big question. Yeah, why is it?
And can you have a church in Pakistan?
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can.
You can have a church in Pakistan.
In Iraq or Iran?
Iraq, definitely. There's a church in Baghdad.
Okay.
And so Saudi Arabia is really very strict.
Okay.
And I think next is Iran. It gets a little tougher there, too.
Okay.
So there are these quasi-secular Muslim states which
How
do
about
allow.
This, the part of Sudan that is now under Sharia law?
Yeah, Sharia law, yeah.
Would they allow a church?
They could be churches, but definitely under attack.
Okay.
Yes.
Because we've been reading of whole villages being
yes.
sacked.
Oh, razed to the ground.
Yeah, and Christians just being
yeah.
slaughtered.
Oh, yeah, even as of recently we're hearing that.
And where is that going on?
It's in northern Nigeria, Sudan, parts of Libya, Syria. You will see Muslim minorities
yeah.
constantly being attacked and targeted.
And was it Syria or Lebanon, I read, used to have a big Christian population. Now it's way down.
Yes, they were the Coptic Christians.
Yeah.
They are being numbered out.
Where is that?
It's in Syria and Algeria and in those pockets of
Sudan?
Northern Africa. Sudan too, the little pockets here and there. Are pretty much, you know, going out of existence.
So you can't help but wonder, why is God allowing this horrible ISIS stuff?
Mm-hmm.
People being beheaded on television. And again, horrible as it is, I can't help but think the devil is overplaying his hand, because it's going to make people think, I don't want to become a Muslim.
Yeah, you're right.
And what would, if you were a Muslim, you probably would respond, yeah, but that's the lunatic fringe. You got that in Christianity,
yes,
too.
Yes.
What would you say?
I would say this. Yes, we do have certain fringe elements in Christianity, but they cannot justify that based on the scriptures. But you'll have this fringe minority, so to speak, within Islamic fold, which they can justify based on the scriptures.
All right, and just to literally play the devil's advocate.
Yes. yeah, like
well, you've got in the Old Testament God telling Joshua to go in and kill all the people in town.
Yes.
How do you justify that?
I justify that in the sense, in the Old Testament, there was a dispensation in the way in which God revealed himself and acted. But that dispensation has moved on.
Yeah, now that God set up a theocracy.
He did.
And we don't have that anymore.
We don't have that anymore.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. You know, when you and I pray, we, you know, normally just don't read prayers out of a book. We have a real relationship
with
God. We talk to God. When Muslims pray, do they have that, or is it mostly written prayers, or do they have that kind of thing?
There are some written prayers also, but predominantly, in the Islamic world, I know many Muslims in India who do pray with their own words.
They do.
They appeal to God in their own words. But it's also always a prayer that is postured out of fear and dread.
Okay.
Ours is postured in terms of, I have a father in heaven that I can talk to.
Yeah.
For them, it's a judge out there that I have to talk to. I have to appease him.
Yeah. And you know, you reminded me many years ago, I had a sinful week.
Mm.
And I got on my knees and prayed before I went to bed, asking God to forgive me, and then I went to sleep. Mm. I had a dream that night that I saw a man in a long robe wearing a turban like a Muslim.
Mm.
He got on his face and he prayed,
and
he didn't get up. And he kept praying and praying, and he never got up. And in the dream, I heard a voice say, his God is an unforgiving God. And I knew that the reason I could get up is because I have Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins.
Yes.
And when the Muslims pray, is it five times a day they're supposed to pray?
Yes, five times a day they're supposed to pray.
They turn toward Mecca?
They turn towards Mecca.
And when they do those five prayer times, is that a set prayer that everybody says, or is that an informal prayer?
No, it is a set prayer. I've observed that, and I've asked a lot of Muslims.
And what do they pray?
They pray to Allah, exclaim His greatness, adore His greatness. There are 99 names for Allah in the Quran. God the benevolent, God the merciful, and God this and God that. So they exclaim God with all these names. I'm sure they're also petitioning God in the same process.
Okay.
Again, posturing towards a God who is that dreaded judge who is up there watching you.
I've heard this, and I don't know if it's true, that the word Allah originally was a false god in one of the tribes or something. Is that true?
Yes, there is a legend that believes that. You know, it's the moon god. Moon god. In fact, the Islamic understanding of the word God is monadic. By that I mean a single entity. Ours is monotheistic, God mm-hmm. in three and three in one. And so the word Allah is an Arabic word.
Well, and I've heard that mm-hmm. when a Christian missionary is witnessing the gospel mm-hmm. to a Muslim, mm-hmm. he'll use the word Allah
yes.
as the generic word
generic
of God.
Generic word, yes.
Is that okay?
Generic word, but you always have to make sure how you mean that word when you're speaking to a Muslim.
Okay.
Because we don't want him to hear the word Allah in the way that a Muslim would speak to him.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, they believe God created... Would they believe most of the book of Genesis?
They do. You know, if you read the Quran, it, to me, as I read it, it's bits and pieces of the stories from the Old Testament.
Okay.
All bordered in and patched up here and there.
Okay.
It has more of the Judaistic faith and the Christian faith and all of that rolled in.
Let me ask you this. I've been a Christian many years. I've only had one Muslim who converted to Christianity who I baptized. I didn't convert him.
Wow,
somebody else did.
Wow, wonderful.
But he came to me for baptism. Mm. Have you ever led a Muslim to the Lord? Or
yes.
You have?
In India.
Oh,
yes.
In India you
in
have.
India, yes.
And is it easier to convert a Muslim? I mean, is it easier to convert a Hindu than a Muslim?
Again, it's obviously subjective. It depends on what stage in life they are in and what they're going after.
But because of the pressure, I would guess it's harder to convert a Muslim.
Definitely so.
Is it?
Definitely,
is it? Okay.
Definitely.
If a Hindu converts, will he get all the shunning?
No.
Oh, is that right?
No. Predominantly no. But there could be pockets of Hindus who might face that, but not in the way a Muslim faces it. There is no apostasy law in
all
Hinduism
right.
that's going to go for you when you convert.
About three doors down from me is a Muslim family.
Okay.
They really keep to themselves, so I've never really had a conversation with them.
Mm.
If someone watching this program has a Muslim at work or a friend, how do you share the gospel with a Muslim?
Be the best human being you can be. Go with love, befriend them, invite them to your house. Show them that as Christians we love. Love is our language. Show them that we really love. Have them over for dinner. Talk to them. Befriend them. And share with them that beyond doctrines and definitions and dogmas, there is a God with whom we can have a personal relationship. Now that personal relationship concept is not existent in the Quranic tradition or in the Quranic theology.
Mm-hmm.
That I can call God as Father does open up doors in the Islamic mind, in their hearts, because they're longing for it.
Okay.
And I would say befriend them, talk to them. You make the first move. Call them, you know, let them know that we are all about love.
Good. All right, good. And, you know, back to Europe you were talking about.
Yes.
There was a movement, I think, in Holland to somehow put a kibosh on all the Islamic laws or the people. I mean, you know, Europe kind of kicked God out of Europe
years ago.
Yes. And very few people go to church in Europe.
Yes.
And now the Muslims are overrunning Holland. And my opinion is, they say to God, "We don't want you." And God's response is, "Okay, you get Islam."
That's how it is.
You know? I don't know, but that's what I'm wondering if that's true. And tell me about what are some of these countries doing that are trying to protect themselves from some of the more radical elements.
Europe?
Yes.
Much of Europe is pretty quiet with this. You know, in the name of multiculturalism, they have opened their arms so wide that they've allowed too much inside, and now that is actually biting them back. For example, in France, you know, all this multiculturalism is so huge that the Muslims in France want their own way of doing things that goes opposed to the Western ways of life, wherein, for example, the clothing, the abaya.
Yeah.
And we'd like to see your face. They say, no, I can't show
And, you know, we believe in freedom of religion in America. We love Muslims. We want to convert them to Christ.
Yes.
And we want to love them. But we want to allow freedom of religion in America.
Because
that's you can't force anybody to be a Christian.
No forcing.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we only got a couple minutes left. Real quickly, what do Hindus believe?
Hindus believe also in the concept of a God. But that concept of a God in the Hindu tradition or theology is a nebulous, amorphous concept. God is energy. God is force. God is not a being. Although they have incarnations of this force exhibiting in the form of a being in multiple fashions, but the ultimate creator is not necessarily a being. That's why Hindus believe in Maya and Nirvana, which simply means I become part of the ocean, I become part of this mystery.
Yeah.
I lose myself.
When they die, they don't go to heaven, they become absorbed into the universe?
Absorbed into this universal reality, called God in their own language.
Do they have a hell?
They believe in a concept of a hell.
Do they?
Where you do pay for your punishments.
Okay.
It's a different understanding of hell.
How do you get saved according to Hinduism?
In Hinduism, there's a big belief in you trying to appease the gods and sacrificing animals. So there's a kind of an Old Testament pattern
and
there.
And if you don't get it right, you have to come back.
You have to come back.
Reincarnation.
Reincarnation. And I say to the Hindus, if you look at the Jesus on the cross, every blood that he shed, basically he went for you, so he became the sacrifice.
So you don't have to come back.
That, yes, that's right, that you're trying to do it.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, we're going to put your website on the screen here, everybody. Mm-hmm. Ruben has a ministry, and here's his website. We're going to pop it up right here. TruthSpeakInternational.org. If you have more questions or you're interested in this topic, TruthSpeakInternational.org. And we've just got about 1 minute left, but you know, why don't we take a minute and pray for the Muslims and the Hindus?
Yes.
Do you mind leading us in that?
I would love
Let's
that.
Let's just all pray.
Yeah. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for this wonderful privilege of coming to your presence through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for our dear brothers and sisters in the Muslim world and for our dear brothers and sisters in the Hindu world. Pray that they will have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
That you died on the cross. Mm-hmm. You tasted death for us, defeated death for us, and you rose again, and now you are alive.
Amen.
May that revelation be granted to everybody who is watching this program, Lord.
Amen.
Ultimately, Jesus, it is you who saves us. It is through you we come to heaven. May that be the revelation granted to all of us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, Ruben, thank you so much
for being on the air with us.
Pray God will bless your ministry.
Thank you.
Everybody, go to pastorstudy.org, two S's, if you want to watch this show or any show. We put all of our shows for free on the internet at pastorstudy.org. Pray for us. If the Lord nudges you to help us, stay on the air. Again, the address will be on the screen in a minute. And God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.